Hello, my dear listeners. Welcome to Orville Radio. This is your host, Sai Priya. Today, we have three special guests with us. One is Jill, an artistic director of Orville Theatre Group. She is also a playwright and a screenwriter. Next one is Rupam Mishra, a filmmaker and an actress. And another one is Uma, an actor. A very warm welcome to all of you.
Thank you, Sai Priya.
Okay, thank you. Thanks for the invitation.
We would like to know more about Jill Nawar. Who are you and what is your background and your passion for theater?
I've been interviewed a lot lately. So Tube Tombi and at AV Art Service. So I'll make it the short form of the interview.
Sure, sure.
I'm here in Oroville 31 years. I've been in theater since I'm 7 years old. I'm artistic director of the Oroville Theater Group for the last 25 years. Actually, next year we will be celebrating our 25th anniversary.
Wow.
So stay tuned because we have some wonderful events planned for this 25th anniversary. I came to Oroville, as I said, 31 years ago. And at that time, there was French theater. There were people doing theater in French. There was a very lively group at that time. But nothing, as far as I knew, not much in English. So when I realized I was going to stay here for a while, I decided to look around and see what we could do. And actually, the first play I did when I came was a play I had written, Mommy, I'm Home, mm-hmm. Which was performed at the old last school campus. And the first play we did in Bard Nevis was Waiting for Godot by Samuel Beckett. And ever since then, we've been going. I don't think we've ever missed a year where we haven't performed. At the beginning, there were mainly Oroville actors. I didn't know anybody in India. I didn't know the theater community. So I relied on the actors in Oroville, who are very, very talented and were wonderful, wonderful to work with. And we had some very successful performances. We did, I'm a great fan of Shakespeare, so we have performed six Shakespeare plays. The first one was The Tempest, mm-hmm. and that was with Nico, Otto, Shrimoy, a bunch of older Orvillians, wonderful to work with, the Orville Choir. There was a small dance performance. And so from that, we built a group. And as we became more well-known because of social media, mm-hmm. we began to get inquiries from outside Orville. Can I come and work with you? You know, what are you doing? I'm looking for theater. And so we have built up over the last several years a group, say a core group of maybe 8 to 10 actors, both from inside and outside Oroville. Some who stay later on, like Rupam and Umair, who have both decided that Oroville can be a home mm-hmm. for them as well as just a place to perform. So my love for theater was hatched at a very early age, and because I grew up in New York, I had the great advantage of having theater at my doorstep. I wrote plays, I performed in them, and in Oroville I found a very willing audience, a captive audience, let's say, and slowly that also expanded. So people started to come from Pondi University, from mm-hmm. from Bangalore, from Pondi itself. And now I'm in touch with many, many people all over India and also the world, actually, through our website, www.orvilletheatregroup.com. And I'm very happy when people contact me and are interested in working with us.
So you have entered into the writing world at the age of 7 to 9. So you have 60 plus years of old writer.
Yes.
Right?
Yes. Actually, when I was younger in New York City, I won a citywide competition, writing competition.
Mm-hmm.
The title of the essay I had to write was Why I Love to Read. And just went on from there. I wrote 10 years, I wrote poetry. So I was mainly a poet. And then I got a bit lonely. It was just me and the page. So I decided I'd really like to work with some more people, not just myself. And so I reached out and started to work in New York, in Washington, D.C., especially. I had some friends together. The three of us formed a theater group called the Sanctuary Theater, which became a professional theater group in Washington. And then, by chance, I took a trip to India, and that changed my life.
You're thoroughly enjoying it, right?
Yes.
Thanks for sharing about yourself, Jill Nawar.
Yeah, you're welcome.
And also, we would like to hear from Rupam Mishra and Umar.
Okay, so I was born and brought up in Lucknow, Uttar Pradesh, the northern part of India. And then I moved to Delhi to study engineering. And meanwhile, while doing engineering, I discovered theater. And slowly, I found myself into the theater. And I did theater for like 4 or 5 years in Delhi. And then I finally realized the need to study theater. So I moved to Pondy University to study further about like theater. So there I studied performing arts, drama and theater. And after that, after finishing my education, like while studying even in Pondy University, I keep my contact with Jill. Mm-hmm. And I started working with her. The first production that I did with her was Midsummer Night's Dream. Yeah, after that it's keep going like. And I finished my education and I finally moved to Oroville. And I have decided that I should be in Oroville because I like this place and I feel the connection with this place. And then, yeah, and then I'm doing theater also. And things are going well, so why not?
So Oroville is fulfilling your dreams, right?
Yes.
Yeah, it took a break.
With a question mark. Yeah. Orville sometimes surprises you.
Yeah.
True.
In ways that you do not expect.
Yeah.
So
very true. Thank you, Uma. Thank you so much. Yeah. And Rupam.
Yeah, hello. My name is Rupam Mishra. I'm a new Orovillian. Before coming to Oroville, I was in Bangalore. I was working for an IT company called Accenture. I have a degree in computer science engineering, but dance and theater has always been a very important part of my life. I also teach English and Hindi at the Language Laboratory and Tomatis Research Center. And also I work as a communication trainer over there. And yes, filmmaking is something that I've always wanted to do. And of course, theater. I met Jill and I started working with her a couple of plays. I worked as an actor and then I directed one play. And yes, a lot of plans for future too. So, and also I'm a dancer. I practice Kathak here in Oroville. So it's an ideal place for me where my creative freedom has been fulfilled. So for me, it's working as of now.
So from an engineer to an
yes.
Filmmaker, a
yes.
transformation, kind of transformation,
absolutely.
Right? And today we are here to talk about your recent play, The Elephant Man. We got an opportunity to see the play at Sri Aurobindo Auditorium. First, Jill, what drives you to bring this particular play, The Elephant Man, onto the stage? I mean, what inspired you?
I had known about this play for a long time. I had seen the film version by David Lynch, and I knew that it was inspired by the writings of Dr. Treves. And so I looked further, and looked at some of the YouTube videos of the stage performance of it. And somehow the story, first of all, the writing, because when I choose a play that I want to direct, there has to be a beauty of expression for me. And this play is a beautifully written play. The dialogue, the text is very inspiring, very poetic. So that always grabs my attention, the use of the words, the language itself. I love my language, I love English, and I like to see it well used. So the story itself, also the beauty of the expression, and the opportunity to share the story of a man who is definitely an outsider of society, who is shunned and scorned by most of people, 19th century London. And he is, by fate, by destiny, by divine interference, he is saved by a doctor and brought to the London hospital. And this is a true story. It was actually, these people actually existed. Dr. Treves, John Merrick, Umair's character, F.C. Cargome, they all were part of John Merrick's life story. So I thought it was an interesting way to inspire a discussion or thought process in our audience as to how we treat people who are different than us, whether it's because of some disability or caste or creed or religion or color or you can go on and on. The list is very big. And people are treated as the other. And I thought it was an interesting topic to put on the stage. I always have in my mind a great quote by Ramana Maharshi. He was once asked by a disciple, Guruji, how should we treat the others? And he said, there are no others. And that's what I believe also. There are no others. So I wanted to put that story on the stage and have people go home inspired by it and think about it and see what their heart tells them about how they see themselves, how they see people who are different from them. You know, theater is not just entertainment. It should provoke. Good theater should provoke some kind of response, something to think about.
So just to know, on what basis you're choosing the plays? Because we have watched your last play, Midsummer Night's Dream, and this one is completely contrast to that play.
Yeah, I mean, there were some others in between Midsummer Night's Dream. There was A Streetcar Named Desire by Tennessee Williams. There was Equus by Peter Schaffer. There was Red Bike by Caridad Switch. What else? Brooklyn Quartet by Rock Wilk. And now
Barabbas
by,
Richard France.
Richard France, thank you. By Richard France. So when I look back at this collection of plays, I see very often that there is a look at what would happen if something strange, something terrible, something wonderful happened to me and I had to cope with it. How would I meet this challenge? So the plays are usually about someone or some group of people that are challenged by something that happens to them. And, you know, in theater, when you are challenged, when you meet an obstacle, the high point of the story is when you make a choice. How you choose is what is the most important moment in a play. If I make this choice, what will happen? If I make that choice, what will happen? So I see that the plays I have chosen present the characters with this kind of story. And I hope also In sharing them, it also provokes the audience to put themselves in the place of the characters and say, what would I do if, what
if I'm in that place?
If I'm in that play, if I'm in that story, if I'm that character, what would I do? I think that's a very important question.
So you're concentrating more on the audience also. So you're making the audience to involve into your play.
It's entering inevitable. Into the character. There are three parts to theater. One is the actor. One is the story that he has or she has to tell. And the other is the audience. Without an audience, you have no play. Without a story, of course, so it goes like that. So there's a triangle. Pull away one of the legs of the triangle collapses. So we are always aware of who we are presenting to, what is the story we want to tell, and who are the actors who can do this. Yeah, audience is very important.
I noticed that Dr. Frederick Treves described about John Merrick with the students when they are in the auditorium, right?
Yes.
So they are making some noise and giving their opinions and ideas. We felt that we are also one among them.
Yeah, I think that's the intention of the playwright also, you know, to extend the story into the audience.
Yeah.
It very often happens. You break through the fourth wall, what we call a fourth wall, and you very often speak directly to your audience and you involve them in the story.
Yeah.
So in that way, there is an exchange of energy between the performers and the audience.
Mm-hmm.
And in the best moments in a play, you become one. You become one. You and the audience become one. And you can feel it when that happens. You can feel it on stage. There is a special vibration that lifts everybody.
It was vibrated.
Thank you.
And we would like to know more about your role, Umar and Rupa Mishra's role.
Well, my character name is F.C. Cargo. And this guy is born and brought up in England, but he moved to India for many years. Like, he was here in Tamil Nadu district of Tirunelveli.
Yes.
And he was a district judge here for like 15 years, I guess, under the British rule. And after taking his retirement, he finally moved to England. And there he started doing this administrative job. So this is the real character. It's a biographical character. So, and that's how he met while working in London Hospital as an administration. He met with John Merrick, and the whole world changes for him because this guy has changed his whole perspective of seeing the life. Because since he is coming from a very aristocratic family, his father was also in royal class. And he is also doing some administrative jobs, and he was the district judge in India, and he saw so many things in his life, but he never met with this kind of person. And when he met, because he's very, very practical person, the way he sees the life is very, very practical. But when he met with this guy called John Merrick, the whole world changes for him because he never thought of anybody like no, he is
John Merrick.
And that's why at the end of the play he was quite emotional by knowing that he is going to die now, and they cannot do anything. So there he realizes that what a human can be. So yeah, this is a really beautiful character, and I enjoy playing it. I enjoy playing it.
You have to project.
Yeah.
And Rupam?
Yeah, I played Mrs. Kendall in this play. When I read the script, I was really very interested with Mrs. Kendall's part because it was a very grey character. There were hints of romanticism, but it was not clear. So I like exploring that wavelength or that kind of a character where something is not given to me and not spoon-fed to me as an actor. So I got to play an actress as an actress in a play. And I found that very interesting because I like to play strong character because that's what I am also in my real life. I like to do strong roles, and that's what I told to Jill also, mm-hmm. that thank you, it's a very strong character. I would definitely want to play this. So it was really fun playing that.
Actually,
part.
You have played two roles, right?
Ah, yes.
Yeah.
Pinhead.
Yeah.
Also.
Pinhead. Yes, yes. 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 Pinhead and Mrs. Kendall.
And the pinhead?
How do you transform yourself from pinhead to immediately the Mrs. Kendall?
The pinhead, we were pinheads. So we were
pinheads,
two girls,
yeah, two girls
playing that.
Yeah.
So we had me and Wei, the mm-hmm. girl who played the other pinhead. So we discussed a lot about how are we going to do and how are we show that pinhead. We don't have to, we shouldn't look silly and something like that. So, yeah, the transformation was a little tricky, but we did it.
You had some help backstage.
Yes, definitely. We had a good help. They are angels who
yes.
turns up in every place where they are there in the backstage helping you transform from one character to another.
So is there any technique that you guys are doing to get into your character?
Good question.
How long do you have?
We can go on for
at least a few things. Just one or two.
For me, it's just be yourself and put yourself into the character. What if? The Magic If by Stanislavski. So what if it happens with me? What if I am... It happens with Umar.
Mm-hmm.
What if Umar is the administrator of London Hospital
mm-hmm.
and John Merrick comes to Umar? So how Umar react to it? So it's all about in the Magic If. And then it goes on and on. So for me, it's always worked like this.
Being yourself.
Yeah.
Great.
It's important. It's important to understand yourself. Then only you can get into the character. And you can understand the character as well.
But you become the character. The character doesn't become you.
Become you. Yeah,
you become important. The character, definitely. And that's sometimes hard for actors because they are used to playing themselves. You know, they are. So that transformation, I think for this play, the fact that there was a lot of information, biographical information, about the characters helped a lot. You could not say, oh, I don't know who this person is. Because that information is available. And then as Umair says, what if I were in charge of a hospital? What are my duties? What are my responsibilities? How do I behave to other people? How do I project myself, you know, so that we get a good reputation, that people donate?
Yeah.
Because he had a big financial responsibility to the hospital and to his donors.
Yeah.
And that is emphasized in the play, actually. He felt very lucky that he put an article in the London Times and people responded so that John Merrick had enough money so that he would not have to touch the hospital funds. That was a big point, you know, and it rings true, actually. You can imagine this kind of situation.
Yeah, there's a line also where I'm saying that London is no home for incurables.
The London Hospital.
London Hospital. So it's... Like, I cannot use the hospital funds for John Merrick, especially when I know that it's incurable disease. So it's a big responsibility, so I have to find other funding sources. And through Times, London Times, I found. So
your character portrays the loyalty. Can we also say like that?
Yeah.
Loyalty, responsibility.
Yes,
he has a big responsibility. You can imagine running a hospital and everything under your care, the doctors, the nurses, the patients, of course. And you're the one who has to answer to the donors, to the government, you know, so you have to be really level-headed in order to do well.
Yeah, my technique. Yes. So for me, I believe in honesty. I think honesty is the trait that I really believe in. No matter how much study I do, no matter how much research I do in mm-hmm. the character, if it's not coming from an honest place, it is not going to reach the audience. Mm-hmm. And I have to make it interesting for myself to play it at the first place. So it's pretty simple. I mean, it's not simple. The process is very complicated, and I can go on for hours together, but mm-hmm. it's very simple. There's a saying in Hindi that dil se nikli hui baat dil tak pahunchti hai. Meaning, if it comes through your heart, it will reach the hearts of the audience.
Indeed.
So I stick to it.
Lovely. May we know how many months you took for the rehearsal to bring this play into a complete shape?
When did we start reading? We were reading first online.
May 15th.
May
15th.
May 15th, so Umair says. We were started to read online because the actors were scattered. They were not all in the same place. And we went through some people dropped in, some people dropped out, but I would say the reading started in May, and then other people started to join mm-hmm. and to come to Oroville, and that's another whole process, the things that happened to make the group to come to one place and be in one place at one time. I would like to, of course, thank Kripa, our home, the Center for Research in the Performing Arts in Kalabumi. They have always and always been very generous and very welcoming to us for a space where we can rehearse, and to Christoph, of course, the manager. The other place is, of course, the Bart Nevis Auditorium, which when I first came to Oroville was my first home. I did theater there for many, many years, until we had a group and we decided we needed a space for Oroville artists. Mm-hmm. So we came together, music, theater, and dance people, and we found an architect, and we built Kripa. Mm. So these two places, once you know that you have a place to perform, you can kind of, you know, let out a sigh of, okay, now I know that's covered. You know, that I have. It's not like, oh, where are we going to go with this play? So you have to line up your, you know, your ducks in the water. Okay, yeah. A place to perform, then the actors start coming. Then where do they stay? Where do they eat? How do they get around Oroville? And, you know, on and on and on it goes. So you have to play host to people who are often here for the first time. And this transition from wherever they came from to Oroville life, to kind of mentor them through that process. So I am by turns a director, a mother, a teacher, you know, whatever I'm called upon to be. So it's interesting to see how people who come to Oroville, how they relate and what they understand about what's happening here. Some understand more, some understand less. But I'm always happy when they go away saying, I'm glad that I came here. I discovered myself here sometimes, because if they're coming from a big city, it's, you know, it's a different world. And then they arrive in Oroville, and some of them go into the forest. They stay at a place called Celebration, which is a wonderful hostel for mm-hmm. many of my actors have stayed there. And Rajesh is very, very welcoming as the manager. And, of course, their parents worry. Their parents say, what? Where are you staying? You're staying in a forest? What? Yeah. And they come, the parents come to look and to make sure their kids are okay. Kids, I'm sorry. I'm 74 years old, so everybody is a kid to me, below the age of 50.
Yeah. It's a common question. What are you doing here?
Yeah, what are you doing here? What
all
is
the
this
parents.
Place?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, so it's not just for the play that people come, I hope, but it's for the unique experience of being in Oroville. Mm-hmm. And I think that attracts a lot of actors, especially from Delhi, because right now Delhi air, Delhi weather, Delhi just survival in a place like Delhi or Bangalore is not so bad, but still. These places, when people come here, it's like they can breathe again. And that's very important to me because I feel as if I am a representative of a potential to invite creative people to come and to make use of Oroville as a place where they can create.
And regarding that rehearsal part, we have noticed that the rehearsal has taken place even during the play, in between the play. So Mrs. Kendall was doing the rehearsal to greet the John Merrick, no? The very cute portion of it.
Yes.
Hello, John Merrick.
Yeah.
Yes, of course.
It was fun.
Yeah.
That was a wonderful
you enjoyed
moment.
It, no?
Yeah.
2-3 times of rehearsals on the stage.
Yes.
That is...
Oh, no. No, I
can't. Yeah.
And then again.
I'm very pleased to have made your acquaintance, Mr. Merrick. I'm very pleased to have made your acquaintance, Mr. Merrick. Yeah.
Yes. It's very true. You know, she's an actress. Her character is an actor.
Yeah, yeah.
So she would want to find the best way
yes.
to give that line. Yeah. You know?
Yeah.
It's a very nice moment in the play. Okay.
Rehearsal behind the stage and on the stage.
On the stage, yeah. Very good observation. Thank you.
We enjoyed it. And Jill.
Yeah.
How do you extract the expressions from your actor and actress? I mean, you have great experience in the acting skills, right? So do you act and show them how to proceed on further or allowing them to come up with their own?
Yeah, I try not to because I don't want to have an actor imitate me.
Mm.
That's not the point.
Mm-hmm.
If I find that they're really struggling and have no idea of what to do in a certain moment, I might make a suggestion or an adjustment, as we say. My only criteria is does it work or does it not work?
Mm-hmm.
If it works, I leave it alone. If it's not broken, don't fix it. If it's not working, I would say, wait a minute, this doesn't work. And then we find another way to play. You know, what would be a better, what would work? I can't explain to you what that means. You have a feeling as a director, I have a feeling, this is not working.
Mm-hmm.
Ah, that works. Yeah, that works. And it's, after all these years, as you say, I have my own way of deciding what works and what doesn't work. So as a director, I look outside. The actors can't see what they're doing. Yes.
Mm.
So I have a stage picture that I'm watching and how the actors move through that stage picture. After a while, it becomes like a choreography. So you're actually choreographing. Okay, you move down stage. This moment could happen if you cross. And then he goes up there. And then, you know, and it's also a dance of the light. Eventually the lights come. So it's this choreographing of movement and action, because acting is action. It's not talking. If it were talking, it could be a radio play.
Yeah.
But I always tell my actors, acting is action.
Mm-hmm.
Because when you have a script like this, very often you have a feeling of, oh, I have so many words to say. And in the beginning, you are trying to memorize the text. So you're not thinking very much of what am I doing.
Mm-hmm.
You're more concentrating on what am I saying. So it's my job as a director to help them to imagine what they're doing.
Mm.
And that is a process of discovery. So we say in theater that the rehearsal process is a process of discovery in which you find out what the play is all about.
Mm-hmm.
Because the text itself is not the play. The text is like a blueprint for a building. It's not the building, you know, it's not a three-dimensional object, it's flat, two-dimensional.
Mm-hmm.
And so once we get on our feet, once we get on the stage, and we start to move, and we start to find those moments of action, that's when the play suddenly becomes alive, you know, from the page to the stage.
How you guys try to memorize the dialogues, because you have so many dialogues, right? Another technique, what is your next technique of by hearting the dialogue? Or
Umair will tell the mantra.
For me, it's remember it through the action.
Yes, and it's correct. It's very helpful. If you know what you're doing, it's easy to remember what you're saying. Much easier than to just try to memorize it without knowing what you're doing.
For me, if you have really understood the character, then the remembrance of the dialogue becomes part of the subconscious. So you don't have to think anything about it, provided you have understood the character and you are that character on stage.
So you can go with the flow,
yes.
Right?
You don't have to think.
And how did you manage your budget part? Because it is not so easy to deal with so many.
Oh my God.
Boils down to the same.
I'm still managing it. I'm not finished managing it. I have bills to pay now that the play is over. The bills start coming in. We're very fortunate, first of all. Our costumes, for instance, came mostly from the Free Store. Free Store, I love you. And really, really, from Bart Nevis, where we have a costume shop. Thanks very much to Joy and to Gita for being our wonderful hosts at Bart Nevis. And so we have collected over the years hundreds of costumes from all the plays. And they are very neatly and orderly arranged in Bart Nevis in the costume shop. So there I can go and pick what I need and supplement it with the clothing that I find from the Free Store. Occasionally, like in this play, we had to go and buy some clothes in Pondi. We had a lot of white shirts. So there were, I don't know how many white shirts.
Four or five
white shirts. And, you know, they have to fit. So we go shopping. And we had three or four bow ties. So we had to buy white shirts. We had to buy bow ties. Shoes. This is the bugaboo of all theater plays in Oroville. Where are the shoes? Nobody wears shoes, you know. Certainly not shoes from the 1900s. So 1800s, 19th century. So we had to buy shoes. That's an expense, you know. Paying for the auditorium is another expense, yes. And it's not a small amount. We had the whole week to work there, to do the tech and to tech in, as we say, to hang and focus the lights, to work on the sound and also the songs, of course. We had to see how the songs would work on the stage. Great thanks to Raquel Jover, for instance, for writing those wonderful music.
Music plays a vital role in your play.
Very,
right?
Very much. In many of my plays.
Yeah.
Almost all my plays, I love to add music and dance.
Have you written the lyrics for the songs?
Yeah, I wrote the lyrics. Yeah. So the lyrics came first, and then I went to her to find the music. And we were looking for music that would be like 19th century England. So the music of that period, Purcell, for instance, and other great composers. So the music had to sound as if it were from that time period. And I think she did a fantastic job of that. So back to the budget. Usually I would write a grant proposal and I would wait to get funded. This year, because of COVID, I didn't know what was going to happen. I didn't know whether we would be performing or not. So I decided not to write a proposal because of the uncertainty of performance or not. And also, if I write a proposal and I get funding, then I don't use it because we get locked down or something, then I have to give the money back, and that money could be used by somebody else. So I thought, I'll use my own money. So I was the producer of this play. I'm still writing the checks for this play. Thankfully, I have an outside source of income from the U.S. government, my retirement money. So with that money, I mean, it's all mother's money anyway. So I'm not concerned about where it's going.
Your money is for your passion. And
my money is for my passion, exactly. But usually there is a little help from outside, from the foundations that support educational and cultural activities in Oroville, and also from the government of India. In the past, it has been very, very helpful to be able to supplement our needs with these government and private grants, but not this year.
So the theatrical performance is just not revolve around the actor and the actress on the stage. There are so many works and people involved behind the stage, right?
Mm.
Do you have any other persons, or do you want to mention any other works you can mention now?
Yes,
if you want to share, you can bring them on the air to our listeners.
Absolutely. First of all, for set design, these exquisite paintings that we use for three of the scenes were all painted by an Orwellian artist called Satya. And I don't know what to say about them. I was awestruck by his talent. I gave him the photos of what I wanted to have reproduced, and I never imagined that they would be so good.
Mm-hmm.
We had one which was actually from Romeo and Juliet.
Mm-hmm.
We had one that was an exhibition, Brussels exhibition, and the third that was actually a poster from The Elephant Man.
Mm-hmm.
And Satya, I think you can, he's under Satya Colors, if you want to look him up on Instagram. Satya did a fantastic job with these, and they added so much to the play. They were actually almost our only set design, mm-hmm. were these three paintings.
Mm-hmm.
The colors of the costumes, you know, how many times we went and got stuff and didn't work and brought it back and got stuff and it didn't work. So I want to mention also the wonderful people who helped put these costumes together, Hui Shi and Snehal Roy, were both on stage and backstage.
Mm-hmm.
On stage and backstage. And without them, it would have been hopeless. So Hui and Snehal were the angels of the costume, you know.
Thank you, angels.
Thank you, absolutely. Can't do it without them. For hair and makeup, you want to mention?
Zoya.
Yes.
And
Nisha.
Nisha.
Yes. Zoya and Nisha. And Virginie.
Virginie, for the hair.
For the hair. For makeup. They were, because I didn't spend much time backstage, because I was actually doing sound for the first five sound cues. So when I saw what they had done to the actors, it was wonderful how they looked so much like what I had imagined that they would look like.
Have they given you a surprise?
Yes, yes. So Sneha Roy and Nisha.
Zoya.
I forget their last names.
No,
we don't remember. But they are definitely to be thanked. Who else? Oh, Tanenjayan for the food, because I have to feed these actors.
That is most important.
Absolutely.
Yes. Without food, actors get very grumpy. Very grumpy.
Yeah.
So the food that my son Tanenjayan provided, and the music, Rukved also did the sound. After he had done his part on stage, he ran into the audience, sat down, and did all the rest of the sound cues.
Sutan.
Lighting, thank you, yeah. Sutan for lights. He's a professional lighting designer from Chennai.
Mm-hmm.
And he should be thanked, because I liked very much his lighting design. Who else? Lights. Oh, the people who took the photos. Oh, my God. Frederick Martin Duchamp for opening night.
Marco Novara
for the dress rehearsal photos.
Piero
Cefaloni came during our rehearsal.
Yes.
Rehearsal process. He took photos. And Komud Kumud also took some wonderful photos. Mm. Kumud is also another angel to thank, because he was not on stage, but he was backstage helping out in many, many ways. One of the ways is that he took some really beautiful photos and was just present and there helping move props and furniture. And, oh yeah, for props, Kunal Yadav, and again,
Rugved
were in charge of the props, because there were a lot of props for this show, in and out, things moving, coming in, coming out.
Naveen and Nazar.
Naveen and Ebenezer.
Mm-hmm.
For the set from Pondi. They're young fellows who got in touch with us through Rupam and came every night almost without fail, unless they had some homework or something to do in college. They're still in college, but they took two or three different parts and helped also in moving stuff around. Because it was a show in which we had to transform the stage. First it was a hospital, then we were in Brussels, then we were in London, mm-hmm. then we were at the mm-hmm. Liverpool Street Station and the train station. So there was a lot of moving things around. Yeah. The church model was done by
Vrushali,
who is an architect who was mm-hmm. in Oroville at that time, and who made this amazing model, put it together, painted it. It was done so that you could put it together one piece at a time with magnets. So, I mean, it's a huge list. It's a huge list of thank yous. You can see it. Bart Nivas.
Joy,
we have mentioned Gita, and for lighting and help, the manager of
Bart Nivas.
Suresh. Thank you. Suresh and lighting assistant. Sorry, I'm running out of names. So many people that helped us in this particular production, making the posters, putting posters around. Of course, all the actors did their part to make that happen, putting posters in Pondi.
Srini,
for the video, which we have not yet released. But he made a wonderful video, which mm-hmm. we are now just sharing amongst ourselves, of the play, the performance. So Ashwin, the assistant to Suresh, and a very, very important person at Bar Nivas, for helping with making the tech rehearsal run smoothly. So thank you also, Ashwin.
Would you like to end the show by saying anything?
Next project?
Yes.
Or something like that? I'm shooting a short film on Sunday, and I have a show that I am preparing for. It will be a dance drama. It will be shown in Kripa on 28th December. So that is what I'm looking forward to right now.
All the best.
Thank you.
And Imma?
So I have a solo performance coming on 12th of December in Alliance Francis in Chennai. So if you want to join us in Chennai, please do come and tell your friends in Chennai. Thanks a lot.
So thank you guys for coming here. So with this note, we conclude this program. Thank you, listeners. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye. Bye.